more of Lake Effect now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. Just over a year ago, the Museum of Wisconsin Art hired Tyler Friedman as an associate curator of contemporary art. His first exhibit, called Among the Wonders of the Dells, Photography, Place, and Tourism, is now on view. The exhibit tells the story of the Dells from its early untouched beauty to the fully developed amusement destination that it is today. The exhibit starts with the work of Leroy Gates, the first to photograph the Dells, and H.H. Bennett, known as the man who made the Wisconsin Dells famous. It ends with a contemporary view of the area with photos by Tom Jones, Mark Brodigham, and others. While the Dells is designed to delight its visitors, the photos tell a sometimes problematic truth. In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Friedman tells contributor Jennifer Fields how the area, which was founded in 1857 as Kilbourne City and was known for its lumber and lead mines, became what we now know as the Wisconsin Dells.
Back in the 19th century, when the Dells is first being presented to the American public, it is presented as the West. It was considered the West at that point in time. There wasn't much development. A lot of Wisconsin was covered in virgin pine forests. So that was part of the appeal. The Dells was close to Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis. Hop on a train, you can be there in a couple of hours. But it still had the feel of the Wild West. And that appealed to people, especially after 1890, when the census determined that the frontier was closed, that enough people had populated enough of the West that it didn't make sense to speak of a line between wilderness and civilization. And I think that inaugurated a certain nostalgia and a desire to experience America in its quote-unquote natural state before it was all industrialized. And I think the Ho-Chunk appealed to that perception. They were treated as patronizingly and incorrectly as a vanishing race, people who were closer to nature. And so H.H. Bennett's stereo views of the Ho-Chunk were an important part of the way that people began to think of the area.
So we have this now, we go from this natural sort of undeveloped region to now we're seeing development encroaching, and now we're seeing the Dells becoming a tourist spot. Things are becoming a commodity here.
We certainly see a Dells that looks more like the Dells that people are accustomed to these days. But even if we're looking at some of Bennett's photographs, we still do see people as tourists. And I think that was part of the appeal of Bennett's photographs. It's these beautiful natural formations, but frequently Bennett includes a human subject in that, sitting on Visor Ledge, looking out through some cave. And the part of the idea was people who would see these could imagine themselves in the person's place and imagine themselves on vacation in the Dells.
I love this woman in this very clean, very beautiful, it's very sharp 60s bathing suit, mm-hmm. perched perfectly on this rock. And you're like, if you really had to walk through to get to that point, you would not be so preen.
Yeah, I love this photograph. It was in a folder called Head Waitress. I imagine that the model was probably a head waitress at a restaurant in the Dells. But as I look at it, I think that Ollie Reese, who was the photographer, was trying to draw a sly equivalence between the female form and the shape of High Rock, which is clever and charming.
Now, because it is H.H. Bennett Studios, it doesn't necessarily mean that he took every photograph.
No. So H.H. Bennett dies in 1908, and after his death, the studio stays in the family until 1998, when his descendants donate it to the Wisconsin Historical Society. It would still operate under the name the H.H. Bennett Studio, so we call this section the H.H. Bennett Studio. Many of these photographs, if not most of them, were likely taken by Oliver Reese, who married Bennett's great granddaughter, Jean Dyer Reese, in the late 1940s. Part of the reason why we're calling this section the H.H. Bennett Studio is the fact that we can't be totally certain of the attribution, and also to pay homage and acknowledge the fact that other members of Bennett's family were also photographing during this time. His daughters, Miriam Bennett and Ruth Bennett. And so to acknowledge the unsung role that women played throughout the history of the Bennett Studio, we thought it was important to acknowledge the studio as a whole.
So as you're unpacking this, Tyler, as you're figuring out how to set up this exhibit, what were your markers? What did you use as your points of interest? How did you want me as a viewer to move through this? And what did you want me to glean from the sections as I'm moving through?
The exhibition is organized chronologically. So we go from Leroy Gates' photographs of the early 1860s through Bennett's photographs, which go from the late 1860s through 1908. We skip a couple of decades, jump into the post-war era where the Dells really begins to take a more modern shape, represented by the H.H. Bennett Studio and John A. Trumbull, and then, which go from the 40s through the 70s, and then we jump to the late 90s. So as I was doing all this research, I came to think of the history of the Dells in three phases. We have the early years, the earliest photographs, through about, I think, 1909 is a convenient cutting off point. That was the construction of the Kilbourne Dam. It was a modern hydroelectric dam constructed right at the end of H.H. Bennett's life, and he was an opponent to the dam because he knew that if this dam was constructed, it was going to raise water levels. Ultimately, it raised the water level in the Upper Dells 17 feet. So some of the rock formations that you see in the exhibition, overhanging rock here, Boat Cave, which we have a stereo view of, were submerged underwater and can no longer be seen. Bennett mercifully and poetically died right before the construction took place, so he didn't see his beloved Dells disappear beneath the mighty Wisconsin. But I think that represents a new relationship towards nature, a more mediated relationship that finds full expression in the post-war era with the emergence of a new class of attractions. Things like Wonder Spot, which was supposedly discovered in 1946, where the laws of gravity don't hold. In fact, it was just built on a slant. We have this wonderful picture of a flaming baton twirler. In the 1950s, the Dells hosted a national baton twirling convention. We have Storybook Land, where they had life-size reconstructions of Humpty Dumpty and actresses who would play little Bo Peep. We have the Dells Minirama, a scale model reconstruction of the Dells, constructed on the basis of 1,400 photographs, each of which was taken with a 4-foot board ruler so that it could be precisely reconstructed at a quarter of an inch scale.
But we also start to see, Native American imagery too as sort of decoration.
Yeah, appropriating Native imagery in the Dells imagery. But we also do see in this era a different sort of relationship of Native Americans to the place. So in this photograph entitled Winnebago Boy, we see a young child, a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, who's in a schoolroom, and he has a mohawk, but he's not wearing traditional Native American garb. And so we do see a younger generation who are becoming a part of the community in new ways, who aren't necessarily performing Indianness for tourists at the locations that tourists would be going to.
But still at the forefront, still as out there, still as an image.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. This is not to say that in the 1950s or even today that there is, the injustices of the past have been atoned for.
It seems that here you're moving away from perhaps people who aren't even Native being used in Native garb. But this one, she almost looks like a cartoon. The way she's painted in?
Yeah, so these are photographs by John Trumbull, large paintings that have been colored with oil paints. My understanding is the thinking was they would last longer than color film. At this point in time in the early 1960s, a lot of professional photographers had not yet adopted using color film. So John Trumbull had some people come in and meticulously, painstakingly color them with oil paints over the course of a couple of days. So we have out on the balcony some more of John Trumbull's photographs. And Trumbull's body of work really captures a lot of different trends in Dells photography, we can say. So we start off with four photographs of Native Americans. The first two were taken at the Stand Rock Indian Ceremonial, which ran from about 1919 through 1997. And tribes from around the country would come to the Dells during the tourist season and perform traditional dances and ceremonies, as well as popular songs of the days on guitar. So it was a mixture of a lot of different forms of entertainment.
But then, these are the ones that truly, the Trumbull ones, really look like postcards.
Many of them actually were postcards. And so you get a sense of the ways in which the Dells were presented on a mass scale, because these postcards would have been, of course, sent out to family members by people who were vacationing in the Dells. So it does show of people's understandings of Native Americans and tourism during the time.
Now let's go back inside, Tyler, and look at the photos of Tom Jones. Because right here, this photograph of the door with the warhead on it, that could be 1970, that could be yesterday, that could be 2020 if it's still standing.
Definitely, yeah. Tom Jones's photographs are really sharp in capturing the ways in which native imagery, names, etc., are still an indelible part of the ways that the Dells presents itself.
There's room for conversation when you look at things like this.
I would hope so. Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about photography. Each photograph essentially says, look at this. This is important. This is interesting. This is beautiful. And so we get, in the course of the exhibition, eight different people saying to us, look at this. This is beautiful. This is interesting. This is Wisconsin Dells. And of course, it's all of these things and much more. And hopefully after people see the exhibition, it will encourage them to look at the Dells in a new way and look at life in a new way, look at their own vacations in a new way. Seeing the transformation of the place really, really drives home how strange a place Wisconsin Dells is. It's pretty wild.
Contributor Jennifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. This month she spoke with the Museum of Wisconsin Art's Associate Curator Tyler Friedman about his first exhibit, Among the Wonders of the Dells, Photography, Place, Tourism.